Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where, as always, we explore the big political stories of the moment. I'm Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us. Amid the continuing uncertainty in the leadership of Metros in Gauteng, Action SA has tabled motions of no confidence against the current mayor and speaker of Johannesburg. To talk about what seems like a drastic step and other issues afflicting party coalitions, we're joined on the Politics Weekly this week by Michael Beaumont, who's Action SA's national chairperson.
You asked Mr. Ramaphosa to sit down first. I'm standing.
I need to put on my big girl panties and keep going.
You can't have two speakers standing at the same time.
Security services of the Republic of South Africa, you may intervene.
There's been several attempts on my life.
Lower that hand.
It's not allowed.
The president is accused of serious crimes.
In order to pursue the greater good, you have to enable some people to eat a little bit.
Corrupt people do not eat alone. They have a spider web.
I now suspend the proceedings. I have warned you.
Welcome to the show. Hey, Michael.
Thank you, bro, Mark. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah. Now, you know, if I'm an ordinary South African, a citizen of either Johannesburg or Ekurhuleni or any of these places, and I'm looking at the people I elected across the political spectrum, people that I have elected to solve my problems as a citizen, as a resident, and I see them spending much of their time arguing, fighting, collapsing councils, votes of no confidence, etc. And it does not, would I be justified to say that these people that I've elected, these parties I've elected, do not have my interests at heart? They are actually in there for themselves.
Well, I can certainly understand why people feel that way. And I think there can be nothing worse than people who experience the day-to-day failures of local government, which are prolific wherever you go. Let's just say it like it is. And what they actually see is not political parties collaborating to solve those problems. They see the endless instability that you're referring to, because I think anyone can look at this instability and understand why it's bad for service delivery. But I think where perhaps we need to dig a little bit deeper is on the question of why it's taking place. Because from where we sit, there's a grouping of political parties that are trying to work together that did win a majority in the 2021 local government elections in Tshwane and in Johannesburg. Those political parties, including the DA, Action SA, Freedom Front Plus, IFP, ACDP, etc. And ultimately, those political parties have been undermined by what has either been a program of vote buying that we've seen take place in the city of Tshwane, where a group of parties that don't have a majority have gone out to buy the votes of individual councillors that form part of a coalition that do have the majority. Or in Johannesburg, you've seen it with the Patriotic Alliance coming and going in the coalition to such an extent that that particular arrangement fell apart. So the reason why these instability and this kind of problems are manifesting have very clear causes. And I would suggest that ahead of a 2024 national and provincial election, where voters should not want to import this level of instability into the national running of our country, people must learn to look at political parties, not just in terms of their policies and their leaders, but also how they behave in coalition. Mm-hmm. Because the future of South African politics is in coalition, whether we like that or not. Mm-hmm. And the reality is how political parties can deliver in that coalition is a huge factor.
Yeah, I'd like us to come back to that, just to get your thoughts on how that can be done, you know, to prevent a recurrence, of what we've been seeing. But you mentioned the question of money. You know, I've heard it before mentioned that, you know, people may have been bribed and that kind of thing. But it does not look like anyone's been convicted, prosecuted, or, you know, what is that? Is it just part of party propaganda, or is that real stuff, you know, that is based on fact?
No, it is real. And I'm afraid if we measure things on whether there's been a conviction, you would believe there's very little crime in South Africa. But we know our criminal justice system is broken.
Yeah, yeah.
But Action SA was one of the parties that laid criminal charges against a councillor in the city of Tshwane from a party called Defenders of the People, who approached an Action SA councillor and offered them what would be the equivalent of 2 million rand. If they were to change their vote and vote for the so-called other side. We've laid those charges. The police are investigating, and that political party has fired that councillor as of a couple of days ago. So very serious cases. And it's important to remember, this is someone who didn't accept the bribe, who did report it to us. And we remember that there was a vote where the COPE speaker, Councillor Macquarella, won that vote, because eight councillors from various parties in the coalition did change sides. And very clearly, this program of inducement was taking place across the board.
Mm. From the outside, it looks like the key factor has to do with the allocation of positions. Is that what it boils down to?
You know, different political parties take a different philosophy when it comes to coalition. I think Action SA takes a very strong position about having to get the ANC and EFF out of government and put in place stable coalitions that deliver. Ahead of a 2024 election where Gauteng is very much on the cards, and nationally we believe as well, I think it's important for us to show that coalitions work, and that's more important for us than positions. You'll recall in the negotiations in Johannesburg, we were willing to offer seats of our own to the Patriotic Alliance in order to keep that coalition together. It obviously wasn't successful at the end of the day, but Action SA's kind of bona fides in that regard are very much on record. Mm-hmm. We very recently gave up another seat to the IFP in Tshwane for the sake of keeping that arrangement together. So we feel strongly about that, but other political parties have dealt with it in a bit more of a transactional manner, which does complicate things terribly, because ultimately there's got to be a bigger picture. And if we see the ANC falling below 50 in 2024, which I think everyone does, the national project of coalition is vastly more important than any one political party or their agenda with positions.
Go ahead.
I do want to say one thing, though, because it is important to understand that positions themselves, there's a reason why they are important. To some political parties, it may be the wrong reasons. But it's also important to appreciate that it is through positions of leadership that a political party is able to implement its agenda in government. So there is also an important service delivery point of view in that particular kind of regard. But as you say, I think there are other parties that just see it as an opportunity.
But doesn't that, in a sense, disempower you if you surrender your positions that you otherwise might be able to, you know, to take over to other parties, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough issue that we've had to grapple with in Action SA, because every time...
Almost making you an outsider in the decision-making process.
Yeah, absolutely. And you lose a bit of agency in the coalition. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's a difficult thing. And every time we've had to do it, we've had to have some tough conversations as a party. But one of the reasons we've done it on a couple of occasions is if the alternative is everyone loses all positions and the coalition is lost, how is that a better outcome? Sometimes a little bit of pain is necessary for the sake of keeping the broader project on track. Because let's not kid ourselves. If coalitions continue to demonstrate this level of instability at a local level, how can voters look nationally and say, I've got confidence in this idea?
And in Joburg, you've tabled two motions of no confidence. Let's take them each in turn. With the mayor, what is your argument with the mayor?
Well, I think there's...
Because previously, you were critical of people who were like tabling motions of no confidence, etc., haven't you been?
Well, I think let's start with the first thing. This particular mayor is born of a compromise that has been struck between the ANC and the EFF. They came together to try and negotiate coalitions in Gauteng. There were trust issues that didn't allow them to conclude that their party should lead these respective metros. And as a compromise, we're now getting parties with a handful of votes. Literally, I mean, the COPE speaker has 2,000 votes in Johannesburg, in a city with 1.8 million votes cast. And you now have these parties with one seat or two seats sitting in the mayoralty. And we're seeing the product of that. I mean, every time the mayor of Johannesburg comes into a public space to try and articulate a vision for Johannesburg, it's a mess. It's an embarrassment to the residents of Johannesburg. And that incoherence doesn't just take place in media interviews. It takes place in service delivery. So our caucus has been on the ground this week investigating, for example, the refusal of this mayor to implement the widely approved informal trading policy of the city of Johannesburg. And if you go into the inner city of Johannesburg, it's filthy. and it's filthy in part because this isn't being implemented. Mm-hmm. And those examples exist across the board in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm. Your colleague earlier in the week, you know, talking about, you know, the mayor was very uncomplimentary in terms of his capacity to run the city. You know, what's your view of Mayor Ahmad?
It's uncomplimentary, to be frank. I think we must understand that Johannesburg is an incredibly difficult local government project. It's a massive city, huge infrastructure backlogs that vastly exceed the budget to resolve them, expectations that cannot be easily met in short periods of time from so many communities in need of services, that you have to have the very best in that seat in order to get the job done. And sometimes the very best, you know, or even people who are good at the job don't come from your own party, and you need to recognize that, and you need to play the role of a constructive opposition. But I think we're looking at a person in a mayoral seat who doesn't belong there, who is there because the ANC and EFF created a compromise, and the residents of Johannesburg seem to be footing the bill for that compromise, and that's not right.
So if we're saying the best, I think a lot of people will agree with you that we've got to put the best of us, you know, to run the country, to run institutions, etc. But in this instance, you know, when we're looking for a mayor, what would Action SA be looking for in that person to say, yes, we're happy to go along with this candidate, or we're not? You know, are we looking for academic qualifications? Are we looking for experience in managing things? What would, for you, would be the criteria?
Sure, there's so many. And I think it's such a complex job that requires a lot of different boxes to be checked. But I think firstly, you're looking for someone with uncompromised ethics. You need someone who realizes that that city has been looted and plundered for so many years, that you have someone who's willing to do, you know, what no one's willing to do, and go where angels fear to tread, to investigate wrongdoing and ensure there are consequences. And that's one of the most difficult jobs when you're in coalition, because sometimes it's your own people who have to be investigated. And you have to be brave enough to say doing the right thing means doing the right thing. And I think that's probably one of the most rare qualities in a leader that we're looking for.
So that's the mayor. You know, you want him gone, basically. And the speaker, what is your beef, as it were, with the speaker?
Well, I think when it comes to the speaker, that's a long conversation.
Yeah.
Because Cope was part of our coalition. She reneged on the coalition agreement and facilitated the arrival of this ANC and EFF coalition in breach of our coalition agreement. And she did so all to her own benefit so that she could become the Speaker of Johannesburg. And most recently, this has played out in the form of her submitting leave applications, being unavailable to chair council meetings in Johannesburg because she is ill. And then we see her cropping up in the city of Tshwane, where she's working with the ANC and EFF there, you know, to take over that government. And you got to say, hang on, if you're the Speaker of Johannesburg and you're a publicly remunerated speaker full-time in Johannesburg, you can't miss council meetings under a fake sick note so that you can go and play internal politics in the city of Tshwane, because, you know, that's letting down the residents as well.
And your chances of success in removing the two of them, you know, the mayor and the speaker?
Well, I mean, it's never good things to talk about assurances in our industry, but certainly with the Patriotic Alliance publicly announcing their intention to support the motions of no confidence, providing our former coalition partners come together in this particular vote, we'll have 140 seats when 136 is a majority. So it's looking good from that point of view, but Action SA is not taking anything for granted. We've indicated that we'll be reaching out to all our coalition partners, and we'll be wanting to bring them along so that we can succeed in these motions.
But what's the plan? You know, say you succeed, you know, for example, to remove the mayor, you know, what's the plan going forward to make sure we don't have a recurrence? You know, I mean, say you get rid of Ahmad, and you come, you know, you get rewarded, as in inverted commas, as an outcome. You find someone worse. How do you prevent that from happening?
Well, I think we got to get together and negotiate a coalition government that's going to take the place of the one that we want to remove. That's very clear. I can see already that our former coalition partners in Johannesburg are coming together for exactly that purpose. And I think one thing we are very clear about is that we need to negotiate a deal that is based on the very best people in the right positions. Because, you know, just saying that, oh, well, you know, you're the party that had it before, you can have it again. And, you know, that's not how it's going to work. We need to have the best people in the positions. We've got a very short period of time to turn around this municipality in a way that people see that. And at the end of the day, you know, we need to ensure we deliver stability. It is not lost on these parties that a year from a national provincial election, this is either an opportunity to show the residents of Gauteng that we can make coalition work for their benefit, or the very worst case scenario, demonstrate that coalition could be even worse than ANC government. Yeah, we can't afford to let that happen.
Not all of us have sat in those smoke-filled rooms, if you will, you know, where the negotiations happen, you know, for coalitions, etc. How do you manage them? And do you, in other words, you're saying that you're going to go into negotiations. At the end of the negotiations, what do you have? A written down contract with the exit clauses, with binding provisions, etc. How do you do them?
So I think, let me say the first things first. Action SA actually wants these negotiations to be open to the media. We think it's hugely important. When you're negotiating on behalf of a city with 6 million people, it can't just be a handful of people that make those decisions, and how those decisions get made is like opaque. You know, there needs to be some transparency in that regard. So that's certainly a position that we put forward. But from the point of view of the coalition, absolutely, that is how it will take place. A coalition agreement would be signed. That agreement would deal with a variety of things, including the service delivery agenda, the values and principles of this coalition, what kind of mechanisms are put in place to resolve conflict and manage conflict so that it doesn't spill over into instability. And ultimately, yes, I mean, how we deal with people that breach that agreement. I think the danger is, you know, coalition agreements, if political parties are not serious about making a coalition work and they intend to breach the agreement, those agreements don't allow you to go to court and uphold them in that kind of way. That's part of the challenge.
Given the current circumstances and your experience, you know, of coalitions so far, is there a possibility, you know, of parties coming together and agreeing a minimum program? Say the people in your your coalition, or actually across, you know, in all of council, to say, guys, we have been, you know, elected to, you know, to serve the people of Joburg or Tshwane or Ekurhuleni. Can we not agree a minimum program of things that needs to be done, you know, by the time our term ends? Is there a possibility of that happening?
There is, and I think that's always part of the engagements we have. But I think one of the problems we have in South African politics is where most governments get given months between an election and the inauguration of a government to get that program determined. We get a matter of 2 weeks. And that's why a lot of the focus is on positions and not enough on what we're going to do in those positions. And that's often where conflict comes in. So from that point of view, that is going to be a focus. But, you know, what you allude to in your question, and I think this is the important part, is to come together with a coalition understanding of how we're going to deliver. But even more broadly beyond that, to put it on the table, to say to other political parties who may not be part of your coalition, look, you've got residents, you've got constituents, they deserve service delivery just as much as ours do. You know, what kind of inputs do you want to see in a budget to ensure that that budget serves your residents as much as ours? And I think that would be a much more mature approach of building broad consensus in this very fractious coalition environment.
You alluded to it, you know, earlier in our conversation, you know, this issue of a whole lot of parties, then some of them who have got even greater support going to a smaller party or the smallest party in council and saying, okay, we'll give you the mayorship, you know, which gives rise to the, you know, the phenomenon of the puppet mayors, you know, all over the place. What's your view of that? You know, do you think that it should be the party with the biggest support who gets, you know, the key positions, or what's your thinking?
I think there needs to be some layering here in terms of how those decisions are made. You know, I do think that parties with larger support is an important principle because you must talk about the mandate that that particular mayor enjoys, which is important because the mandate is partly measured by what their party secured by way of the vote, but then I suppose also collectively by those parties in the coalition. I think what's particularly problematic about the so-called puppet mayor scenario that's arisen from this ANC-EFF compromise is that you have the ANC and EFF pulling the so-called strings. And a situation where the administration doesn't actually know who's in charge, because yes, this is the mayor, this is the constitutionally enshrined person with the responsibilities to govern the city,
mm-hmm.
but are they actually in charge? Or do we need to talk with someone else about what the real agenda is? Mm-hmm. And that's not a healthy situation from a service delivery point of view in local government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we also spoke about 2024. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of what is happening currently in the local councils could actually be seen spill over into national and provincial in the national and provincial spheres?
I think what's spilling over is the understanding that we can't afford to import this level of instability into the national and provincial spheres. Because if the spheres of government that are managing our economy have this level of instability, the fallout is going to be, it's a scary thing to even think about. And I think what's good about this is that there's kind of a storming phase in the early days of something like this, because coalition is new to all of us. It's something very new in South Africa. Many countries have lived with it for a very long time. But then there's a norming phase where, you know, these kind of things settle and the political parties start to understand that, you know, there has to be a maturation very quickly of our political system. And I think what's good about this is we're starting to see that now. We're starting to see political parties who are getting that and are starting to put the big picture ahead of individual self-benefit or self-reward in the coalition process. And I think that's an improvement of huge, huge proportions.
Yeah. Would it be a fair question to ask you what Action SA's key issues are in terms of the challenges facing local government in South Africa, particularly the bigger metros that we've just been talking about in Gauteng, where there's been a lot of action and instability and that kind of thing?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think one of the first challenges has got to be the revenue model in local government. If you have big metros like this, they are funded to the tune of about 85 or 90% from the revenue that is collected internally. So very little funding comes from national government. But here you have metros that have huge infrastructure backlogs. I mean, in Johannesburg right now, that infrastructure backlog is over 300 billion rand. And yet your capital budget to address it every year is just over 7 billion rand. So it's really a massive project to be undertaken. And what you're seeing now is municipal revenue being squeezed. So they're getting less and less funding from Treasury. They're getting less and less money from electricity because of the joint load shedding and double-digit increases that Eskom is passing on to municipalities every single year. And a lot of customers are going, you know, off-grid to get away from load shedding. So this is causing a huge squeeze, because ultimately you can deal with all manner of things, but if you don't have the revenue to tackle these problems, you've got a huge problem. And while there's a list of 100 challenges, let me say the other. The civil service has got to be the biggest project in South Africa. Because for so many years now, there's been a blurring of the line between the professional civil service and the party that's in charge. And that blurring of the line has created an environment where you don't have the best people in the right positions. You don't have people there because of what they know, but rather because of who they know. And it's compromising the ability for a civil service to deliver. In Johannesburg, there's over 36,000 employees in the municipality. And if you could just get those dynamics right, where 36,000 people were pulling in the right direction, operated with a sense of pride to be a civil servant, could act honestly and ethically to make sure that they understand being entrusted with public resources is the ultimate responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
These things would make a huge impact.
At a broader political or strategic level, you know, are there political parties that you would say are Action SA's natural partners and others which are not?
You know, I wouldn't say the word natural, because it hasn't been natural. If you look at this process, it's been anything but natural.
In other words, if you were to go into a coalition, for example, do you have people you'd say never with those guys, but maybe with these guys?
So I think our first philosophy is – you can't go into coalition with the problem to solve the problem. And if you regard the ANC to be the problem in South Africa, which we do, we will never go into coalition with the ANC. And we are unambiguous about that, and we're very critical of any party that is ambiguous about that question. We think the EFF's program is a disaster. They have now combined a policy suite that would destroy South Africa with behavior that fundamentally is is like oil and water to anyone who believes in the Constitution and what it represents in South Africa. So I think those two parties off the bat, we would not work with in a national kind of level. But beyond that, I think we need to have a very pragmatic understanding beyond those two parties as to how you get 51%.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, you can pull together a very small group of parties and say, you know, we're going to form a coalition. But if you've got 40% of the vote, what are you going to do? You can't fix South Africa in the opposition benches. And I think we need to be pragmatic about creating a broad church of parties who are going to come together and solve these problems. But certainly at the core of those parties, you know, we would see political parties we're currently in coalition with, like the ACDP, the IFP, the Freedom Front Plus, parties who have demonstrated over time that they are dependable.
Yeah, and the DA?
Well, certainly.
I mean, there's no
mathematics that you can build 51% without them. And I think they would have to be at the center of that arrangement. The relationship with the DA has been more complex and more difficult.
But why is that? You know, because one would have thought that, you know, because of the reasons that you've advanced, you know, that you'd probably be working extra hard to...
Well, we are working extra hard, and I suppose we're working extra hard to deal with these complexities. But I suppose to answer your question, you know, from our point of view, the complexities arise from what we have found at times with the DA to be an attitude that is belongs more with a party that has a majority than a party that's cooperating in coalition. There's been a my way or highway in the past, and we've seen the consequences of that. I mean, the last time we had an opportunity to take back Johannesburg, it was lost. Because of the DA's approach to those negotiations. So, you know, there's definitely some bad memories in that regard. But from our point of view, it's more important that we get it right for South Africa than we put that at the center of the agenda.
And looking forward, you know, could you see yourself as being part of the, for lack of the moonshot alliance, you know, that John Cena hasn't spoken about?
Let's start by saying it needs a new name. Because this is a kind of straight out of the Democrats in America kind of term that's just alien in South Africa. But absolutely, Herman Mashaba has responded to that invitation already. He has categorically stated that we will be part of these engagements, that we're committed to seeing them succeed, that we see these things as much bigger than any individual party, but also raised a couple of concerns about how it came into being. You know, announcing that in a DA elective conference and telling leaders of parties to watch their emails, you know, that's a political stunt. And, you know, this project is too important to be a political stunt. It's got to be collectively owned. And ultimately, it's the election that must measure proportionality. And that'll be in next year.
And the you've just mentioned Herman Mashaba, you know, in passing. From the outside, you know, it's you know, the perception sometimes is that he is Action SA, basically, you know, that the Action SA is a one man party, and you know, everything revolves around him. If he doesn't like somebody, you know the stories. If he falls out to somebody, that person is going to be out the door, kind of. But that if he is the kind of nucleus of the party, is that a correct perception?
No, I think it's a misreading of the situation. There's no doubt Herman's a larger-than-life person. Yeah. He's that kind of leader. And, you know, I think we must be clear that in the early years of a political party like Action SA, your identity of your party is always going to be inextricably linked to one person. That's, you know, always the case. The truth is, if you look at a party like the EFF 10 years later, that's still the case. And that's what we must avoid. And I think that's where Herman is very strong on the idea of building strong leadership teams around him. So when you imagine people like Athol Trollope and Zwakhele Mtwango, Patricia Kopane, Selo Lidiga, these are leaders that have been assembled around Herman, who are anything but yes men and women, where there are tough engagements. And ultimately, I think Herman wants those tough engagements. The narrative of people leaving the party, etc., you know, I think it's often created by those people who leave the party. But when you talk to those people in the organization, they'll tell you an altogether different picture. The one thing I will say, though, and I think this is an important thing, because, you know, when you are a new political party, there's a process of democratizing decision-making structures. Where we were a year ago was fundamentally different to where we are now. We're a much bigger party. We're represented in all 9 provinces. And that process of democratization continues. It's an ongoing thing, until ultimately our policy conference in September this year and an elective conference next year.
Well, Michael Beaumont, that's all the time we have for our conversation this week on the Politics Weekly. And we'd like to thank you very much for coming through. Michael Beaumont, of course, is Action SA's national chairperson. We appreciate your time. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do stay safe, stay blessed, and let's do good for our country.